pre-Shavuos Torah. It happens to be that we're in the Daf Yomi. We have an almost Daf Yomi coincidence coming up that the primary sukkahs of Kabbalah Satorah are going to happen right after Shavuos. So when we get to Daf Peches, which is the sugya of Kabbalah Satorah, that's Kimu V'Kiblu, Nasa V'Nishma. So in that sugya, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches contrasts the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos with the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim. On Shavuos, it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, right? By Matan Torah, it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. But on Purim, it was this willing acceptance that we had of Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. Now that is somewhat strange for several reasons. First of all, only on Shavuos did we have a direct revelation of the Shechina. Did we have direct revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence? We came as close as we ever could to seeing God Himself and hearing His words directly from Kaviyachol, directly from His mouth. That's when that experience happened. Purim, on the other hand, is really marked by Hester Panim. It's by not seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you would think that direct revelation would bring about willful acceptance, whereas the darkness of Hester Panim maybe won't bring about such willful acceptance of the Torah. So it seems almost counterintuitive that Shavuos is the time that we associate with Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, and Purim is the time that we associate with Kimu V'Kiblu, that we were all excited about it. No, Purim is Hester Panim. Shavuos is Gilui Shechina. Second of all, the day that we actually celebrate the Torah, even though there were these two Kabbalah HaTorah that the Gemara highlights in Purim, yes, is also a day of Kabbalah HaTorah, but the day that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah is Shavuos. Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinu. It's the Chag of Matan Torah Seinu. On Purim, we celebrate a bunch of things. We celebrate the story of Jewish survival, the downfall of our enemies, the downfall of the wicked, of Amalek. And Torah is also one of the themes of Purim, but it is not the theme of Purim. Meaning the receiving of the Torah of Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim is certainly a theme of Purim, but it's not the theme of Purim. So it's so interesting. Here we have 2 days. We have one day where we were forced into it, and another day where there was this loving, willful acceptance. Which one do we choose to celebrate as Kabbalah HaTorah? Right, the one that we choose to celebrate as Kabbalah HaTorah is the one that's less geschmack. That was a Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. Not the one that it gets crowded out from all the other celebrations going on in Purim. It becomes less of a focus in Purim, and you would think that would be the time that we would really celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. And also, when you read the actual stories in Tanakh of Kabbalah HaTorah and of the Nes Purim, respectively, it doesn't really seem to say what Chazal are telling us it says, right? Meaning, it seems to reveal the exact opposite. It's on Purim that we were threatened with extinction. It's on Purim that our backs were against the wall. We were forced into tshuva because otherwise we were going to die. We were forced into coming closer, coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into Tainis and Tefillah and Sak Ve'efer. We were forced into all of that. And that ultimately, that forcing helped. It brought us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shavuos, the Pesukim don't really make any mention of force. They make mention of revelation. That's what's described in Kabbalah HaTorah. Not being forced into anything. So where did Chazal get like the exact opposite impression of what the Tanakh seems to tell us? So there is a beautiful piece that Rav Aaron Lapiansky wrote in his book, in his Sefer, Timepieces, that I think is just such a beautiful way of framing these two Kabbalah HaTorah and what it is how they interact with each other and why it's so critical that we have both of them. Rav Lapiansky explains that there are two modes of appreciating the Shechina. First, there is to see the Shekhinah in its full glory. Like you see the sun in midday on a magnificent summer day. There it is. There's no denying it. It's lighting up the entire world. And there's no denying its presence. But then, a person can also find the Shekhinah after a prolonged search in darkness, in spiritual darkness. You know, a person is losing his way. He feels very much in the dark, and then you see that glimmer, the door opens a crack, you know, like you wake up early in the morning and it's dark in the room, and it's a, you know, if for those who are married, you don't want to turn on the lights, can't wake up your wife, but you see that, like, as the door opens a crack, oh, there's a little bit of glimmer, there's a little bit of light, and that light is going to guide you toward it, and it's going to bring you, how bright is it? Not very bright at all, but it's so beautiful to him, to the person who's looking for it, because he was yearning for that light so badly. A person's in a dark room where every moment of hoping for light allows him to appreciate the light when it finally comes. Meaning that's really been our experience now. Yesterday, those who live in New York, we were all excited, and myself included, super excited. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving us a glimmer. He's giving us, did we daven with a minyan this morning? I certainly didn't. Am I planning on davening with a minyan in the next 2 weeks? Whatever Rav Shechter tells me, which looks like, as of now, the answer is no. But now I see a glimmer. Now I see that there's some hope. And you know what? If someone would have told me at any other point in my life, oh, in 2 weeks from now, you're going to daven at an outdoor minyan, I'd be like, 2 weeks from now is going to be one of those horrible situations where it's like one of these chick-chock minyanim where there will be zero kavana. And now, having that opportunity off in the distance, off in the future, all of a sudden, because we're in this spiritual darkness, we're in this this period of time where we're desperate for it, where we're thirsting for it, where it's like oxygen that we just want to inhale a little bit of it. It becomes so much more meaningful, and that's a different kind of experience of light, a much less light, but a different kind of appreciation. You know, it's true in other life experiences also. A father-son relationship, it could be enjoyed in a warm embrace after a wonderful accomplishment, a milestone. Someone graduates, he gets smicha or something, and the father gives him a hug. That feeling of connection is very nice and very good. It could be exceeded by a feeling of yearning for the father's company after a long absence. Meaning, when does the kid appreciate that more? At that time, or after he was away from home for a year learning in yeshiva and hasn't seen his father in a year, and then he sees his father, and there was that prolonged absence. That's so. It may be a less emphatic less meaningful in terms of the scheme of things in life, but as far as what he appreciates at that time, it's much, much greater. A person enjoys a good meal when it's served to him, but when you're really hungry, it doesn't even have to be that good. You know, you ever go shopping in a grocery store on a fast day? All of a sudden, everything looks so delicious. Like, you buy like three times as much stuff because everything looks so delicious. When a person is hungry, then you appreciate a little more. And the same is true intellectually. The Maharal points out that the Seder on Pesach night is conducted b'derech she'elo u'tshuva, because if the question never bothered us, then the answer is not going to be truly internalized. Only that sense of chisaron, that sense of desire, that sense of longing, that sense of missing something. Just yesterday, we were composing a letter. Some of the local rabbanim were composing a letter, and the initial text said, "We are all anxious to be able to start davening with a minyan soon." So one of the rabbanim said, "Anxious?" He said, "His rebbetzin said she speaks English very well. Anxious has a negative connotation. We are longing to be able to daven with a minyan very soon." Then they had a few other suggestions. This is every word gets measured in these things. You know, in case you wonder whether you should darshan these emails that you get, yes, every darshan by what isn't there, what is there. You know, but anyway, the longing. We long for something, and when you feel that sense of chisaron, that sense of longing, then it gives you a deeper connection to the Torah that you were seeking for all that time. So when a person learns Torah, you can't compare the impact that the Torah has on a person when you struggle to understand it. You argue with the chavrusa, you have difficulty with the text, you go back and forth, and when you just hear an enjoyable and clear presentation, you hear an enjoyable and clear presentation, it's so much more valuable. You know, you listen to a shir from Rav Shechter, and like, it's all just laid out there, everything's simple, everything's pashut. If you struggled with that sugi before, wow, it's totally different. He's giving you klalim that you didn't know existed, that just like clear the way for you, and that like make everything, but if you just hear it, okay, he's just saying stuff. You know, you hear people talk about sometimes, Rabbi Shechter, Rabbi Sablowski, they say nice Torah, they say nice, people who say that, they don't get it, they don't get what they're doing, they don't get the whole process. The point is, they're giving you the klalim that come from struggling through, figuring out what are the klalim over here? What are the rules? How do we get through this? How do we? And then it's like a light that comes after all that struggle that just lights up the entire room, and it becomes a something that you appreciate so much more. It's so much more valuable. And that, says Rav Lapiansky, is the difference between Shavuos and Purim. On Shavuos, we saw Kodesh Baruch Hu in all of his glory. Like the Chumash says, you can't deny the sun when it's staring you in the face. We're forced, not in a physical sense, but by the magnitude of what we saw. We saw Shas HaShechinah, and that alone is not sufficient. If it was not preceded by any doubt or searching. When you put on your shoes in the morning, you don't give it a second thought. But if you've been searching for 20 minutes for that second shoe, and then you finally find it, you feel a sense of relief and happiness. That's what I do if my kids leave their shoes around the house. I do not put them away. I do not leave them there. I take one of them, and I put it somewhere else. Right? So that's, that sense of long... You don't want to have that. It's annoying, right, to be looking for that second shoe. And then when you find it, you feel that sense of relief. On Purim, there was Hester Panim. Instead of having just experienced Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, we just experienced the Choshech, the darkness, the doubt that comes with feeling that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us. And then, when he reveals his presence just a little bit, he opens that door just a crack, then we feel it so much more deeply. So why is Shavuos the day of the true celebration of the Torah? It would seem that Purim is so much more meaningful, should be so much more appreciated. So Rav Lapiansky explains that what Shavuos provided us with is undeniable knowledge that the magnificence of Torah and the Shechinah exists. There's no denying it. We saw it straight, face-to-face, panim al panim. Finding after a struggle is very, very important. But the thing is, a lot of people struggle and never find. A lot of people spend their entire lives in the darkness. And that's when people start to question and wonder, is it really there? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu really there? Is the beauty of Torah really there? But if you've seen that Shechinah, if you've had that experience, then you always have what to fall back on in terms of that experience. The Yerushalmi, at the beginning of Peah, says a Chassidus Shavart, which is fascinating, that the Yerushalmi would say what sounds like a Chassidus Shavart. Probably you know this part, you probably thought some Rebbe said it. The Yerushalmi, in the first part of Peah, explains the Pasuk, Ki lo davar reku michem, right, that it is not something empty from you. So Yerushalmi says, what it means is, if you perceive a flaw, or a fault in the Torah, if a davar reik appears, then realize lo davar reik. It is not a davar reik. It is not something that is empty. It is not a flaw with the Torah. Rather, michem, it's from you. The problem lies within your own perception of things. That's what it is. It's not a davar reik. It's michem. We cannot accuse the Torah of being meaningless any more than a blind man can mock a work of art or a deaf man can mock a musical composition, right? Thinking of the deaf man in the shtiebel or whatever, the blind man in the bleachers. We cannot accuse the Torah of lacking meaning if we haven't seen it. If we don't perceive the beauty, the problem is not in the Torah, it's in us. So lest we become confused by this, the day of Shavuos is there to remind us that we have seen the magnificence, we've taken in the beauty, and it's our job throughout the rest of our lives to recapture that beauty, to recapture that experience. My friend Rabbi Eli Storch mentioned to me last year that his son's Rebbe, Rabbi Dovi Kaplan from the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, told the Talmidim before Shavuos when he was giving them Eitzah, He was not telling them that they should take on to learn more dapim or to learn more hours or anything like that, but just to enhance ahavas haTorah. That's the goal of Shavuos, to enhance a sense of ahavas haTorah, enhance our appreciation for the Torah, because every one of our neshamos were there to witness its beauty, to witness its grandeur, to witness its impact, and we have to try to recapture that. My son told me, in the name of David Bashefkin, in the name of Rav Tzvi Berkowitz Shlita from Ner Yisrael, that someone asked Rav Tzvi, wouldn't it be much, much better if you learned a five-hour afternoon Seder on Shavuos rather than sleep all day on Shavuos because you stayed up all night learning Torah? And he said, no. The staying up all night is not about maximizing your learning. The staying up all night is to demonstrate that when you're in love, you do crazy things. people who are in love do crazy things. And that's what we do. That's what we're showing. We're showing that we appreciate the beauty of the Torah, and we're willing to go beyond anything that we would normally do in order to have that sense of appreciation. This year of Shechter, by the way, has Paskin, that it might be better to sleep for a few hours on Shavuos night, because you're not going to have that guy to say brachos for you in the morning, the Birchas HaShachar, and assuming that you're not davening with a minion. If you are davening with a minion, you might have that guy, that the designated person, but you may not otherwise have that person. So that's just something to keep in mind as a matter of halacha, but as a matter of hashkafa, that's what really we're supposed to build up on Shavuos, to build up that sense of ava, that sense of connectedness. One of our great poskim shared with me this morning that he's nervous if we allow minyanim on Shavuos. I said, "Oh, you're nervous about the health issues?" He said, "No, I'm not nervous about the health issues. I'm nervous that we're not going to have a kabbalas ha'teirah d'kadavening. I'm nervous that we're not going to have whatever minyan it's going to be, it's going to have to be rushed by its very nature. And Shavuos deserves a better davening. What's a better davening? The kind that we're doing at home, really. The kind that hopefully we've trained ourselves to do at home." So that's an interesting perspective, a little bit of a different perspective. But Bez Hashem, we should figure out a way over the next week or so to re-experience that profound sense of Kabbalah Satorah. Okay.